Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Deep inside everyone is the desire for community, for other people with whom to share the joys and sorrows of life. The race of life, it's a lot easier with others running with you. Today, we begin a series that explains why the local church is the place where those deep needs can best be met. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today marks the beginning of a series on finding community within the church. Join us as Erwin Lutzer comes to speak on finding community in service.
One of the great problems that exists in the church, I think particularly in America, though in other parts of the world, and that is a spirit of independence, a feeling that we can get on alone without the rest of the body of Christ. Well, you know, working alone, trying to do the job alone, can have some tremendous negative consequences. I like to read this story once in a while. It says, "Dear sir, I'm writing in response to your request for more information concerning block 11 on the insurance form, which asks for cause of injuries, wherein I put trying to do the job alone. You said you needed more information, so I trust the following will be sufficient." Now, you have to follow this, folks. "I am a bricklayer by trade, and on the date of the injuries, I was working alone laying brick around the top of a four-story building when I realized that I had about 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to put them into a barrel and lower them by a pulley which was fastened to the top of the building. I secured the end of the rope at ground level and then went to the top of the building and loaded the bricks into the barrel and swung the barrel out with the bricks in it. Then I went down and untied the rope, holding it securely to ensure the slow descent of the barrel. Well, as you will note on block 6 of the insurance form, I weigh 145 pounds. Due to my shock at being jerked off the ground so swiftly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Between the second and the third floors, I met the barrel coming down. This accounts for the bruises and lacerations on my upper body. Regaining my presence of mind again, I held tightly to the rope and proceeded rapidly up the side of the building, not stopping until my right hand was jammed in the pulley. This accounts for my broken thumb. Despite the pain, I retained my presence of mind and held tightly to the rope. But at approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed about 50 pounds. I again refer you to block 6 concerning my own weight. As you would guess, I began a rapid descent. In the vicinity of the second floor, I met the barrel coming up. This explains the injuries to my legs and lower body. Slowed only slightly, I continued my descent, landing on the pile of bricks. This accounts for my sprained back and internal injuries. I'm sorry to report, however, that at this point I again lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. As you can imagine, the empty barrel crashed down on my head. This accounts for my head injuries. I hope that this answers your concern, and please know that I'm finished trying to do the job alone." Well, that's what happens when you do the job alone. I'm beginning a series of messages on the topic of community, about which the Bible has much to say. But why should we be interested in community, in connectedness? Several reasons. First of all, because even before the fall, God created us as social beings. The scripture says it is not good for Adam to be alone, and that was before sin entered into the world. I can imagine that there's someone here who says, "You know, I don't need other people. I'm an individualist. And then they begin to think that community is for weak people who have needs. And I say to you today, community is not for the weak. It is not because of weakness. It is because of design, the way in which we were created. That's why we need community. One day I was meditating on what it would be like to be confined to a planet for the rest of your life with enough food, with enough water, and all the things that you need for survival, but you are totally, completely alone, cut off from other humans and cut off from God. Now, you don't have time in this message to meditate on that, but do that sometime, and you will agree with me that that would be hell to exist alone. We all need connections. The other reason is because we belong to the new community. We are members of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I say this to you with deep conviction of spirit, that if you are alone, if you are disconnected from the body, even if you're a born-again Christian, but you have no friends, you are not exercising any gifts, that you are not entering into the fullness of what Jesus wants you to experience. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, being knit together in love that ye might attain to the fullness of Christ. There is something about the body that helps us in our spiritual growth and that helps us to enter into the fullness of Christ. On Thursday, I was with 8 friends. We spent the day together. It's part of a revival network. And what a delightful time we had together. And some of those folks really knew how to pray. And we were on our knees a good part of the day praying together. David Bryant was there, who is in charge of concerts of prayer and has been part now of a national prayer network, and that man knows how to pray. I have to tell you that I was invigorated. I was challenged. I left saying, surely this is something of what heaven is like. That atmosphere cannot be created anywhere else except among members of the body of Christ. I say to you today, you need the body. You know, it used to be we'd use the nuclear family to illustrate what the church should be like in its relationships. But with the demise of the family, with the breakup of the family, the church now has to model family life in such a way that it helps those who've come through difficult families, who've gone through divorce and difficulty, and children who've been abandoned, and those who've been raised by other relatives and so forth, who sense these deep needs of disconnectedness. And that sense of oneness can come about no other place except in the body of Christ, which we all need. In this series, I'm going to be pointing out that the body has within itself the resources to heal itself. Just like my body has the power to heal itself when it has a cut, in the very same way, those who hurt can be healed and helped within the body, but it can't happen as long as we are disconnected from one another. There's another reason, and that is that the church is to be a community to impact the world. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one toward another. Now, sometimes we might think that we show our oneness by having a great rally and having all the churches together in a stadium. And that's true. We do see our oneness there. But it's not just there. It's in human relationships. It's in the way in which we relate to one another, the way in which we love one another, the way in which we care for one another. That's the way the world is impressed by our love. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, I'm not that interested in relationships. Wait a moment. Salvation is a relationship. Prayer is a relationship. The family is a relationship. And if you do not have strong relationships, as I mentioned earlier, you can't enter into the fullness of that which belongs to Christ. Now, with that introduction, I want you to take your Bibles, because we're going to get right down to the nitty-gritty here. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul discusses this oneness. Romans chapter 12, and 3 of the 4 messages in this series will be from the 12th chapter of Romans. In context, he talks about the sovereignty of God in chapter 11, he ends with that marvelous doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. And he ends in verse 36, from him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. What a marvelous crescendo of praise to God. And then he says, I urge you, brethren, because of the mercies of God, present yourself to him. I'd love to preach on verses 1 and 2, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to have to hurry to verse 3. But first of all, see the connection in the passage. He says in the last part of verse 2 that we should renew our minds that we may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now listen up, those of you who are still looking for the will of God. Paul is going to tell you now what the will of God is. It isn't as mysterious as you think. It isn't a revelation that comes down out of heaven. Because notice the connectedness of the passage. Verse 3, 4. That word, for, connects it to the will of God. And then notice the word for in verse 4. For just as we have members, many members in one body. So he's going to discuss the will of God. So if you've come wondering what it is, you've come to the right place. Now let's look at what the text says. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to every man. I'm reading this from the New American Standard. I think the NIV says every person, every individual. And that's good. That's good because that's obviously what Paul means. Now, sometimes when we're talking to somebody, we say, you know, I'm going to say something to you, but don't take it personally. Well, today I'm going to say something to you, and I want you to take it very personally. Very personally. And that is Paul's admonition. He says, a man should not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Let's just stop there. Paul is saying, if you know what the will of God is, know who you are and do not have illusions of grandeur, but think of yourself soberly. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think.
Well, you know, this is Pastor Luther. I need to say this, that if we were to take Paul's admonition, think of the sense of well-being and even sanity that that would bring to us. That on the one hand, we do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but on the other hand, we don't denigrate ourselves either. We know who we are because we know where we fit. The ministry of Running to Win continues, helping people make it across the finish line, as we like to say. And thank you so much for your prayers and for your interest, because what we desire is the health of the body of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you are a part of that body. I hope that you are a part of the body through your faith in Jesus Christ, but also a part of the local church, because God's church is still the best hope for our broken world.
That was Erwin Lutzer with part one of Finding Community in Service, the first in a four-part series on finding community within the church. Next time, more on seeing yourself realistically. This series can be yours on CD. All four messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.